Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and resiliency expert, helping people to think, speak, and act positively through the challenges of life. You can find out more about me in this interview at my website, which is Tom, the number 2, and Tall, T-A-L-L. com. My guest today is John Nally. He's the founder of one of Canada's fastest growing companies. His journey within the staffing industry is truly a Canadian success story. After graduating college with a business diploma in 1995, John entered the staffing industry by accepting a position at Adecco. And for 6 years at this company, John gained invaluable knowledge while moving up through departments. He started with temporary and permanent staffing, then moved on to business development, which led him into branch management and finally area management. With encouragement from a close friend and an already successful entrepreneur, John decided to set out on his own and build a new type of staffing firm. In 2003, he designed his business plan and launched PeopleSource from his kitchen table with only an idea, a dream, and a ton of ambition. He set it in motion and then created one of the most successful staffing firms ever to hit the Canadian market. I believe today they're called PeopleStore Staffing Solutions, and we'll talk to John about why he changed the name. But welcome to the show today, John.
Great. Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate that introduction.
I have been following PeopleStore Staffing Solutions, so it wasn't a surprise for me to see you in this year's list of Canada's fastest growing companies. That's some prestigious company to be in. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you. Yes, it's certainly great recognition for not only myself but for our company. The Profit Magazine recognition was accompanied by the Canadian Business recognition, and that certainly was a nice feather in our cap this year.
And it seems to me, just from one thing I noticed, that you really are all about your people and your staff and the people that work for you. Most people, when I ask them to send me pictures for the radio interview and to promote the interview, they send their own pictures of themselves in various suits and ties. But you send pictures of all of your pictures you sent with staff. You're standing around in a position with your staff. So that showed me that, this guy really is all about the people that work for him.
Correct. It you know, ultimately, I'm only one person. I can accomplish so much in this business, and I've realized that if I really wanted to accelerate the growth of this company into one of greatness, I had to assemble not only a team of great people, but ensure that the same people were growing along the way and succeeding, and a lot of the success that the company has had is just really an extension of our people's success.
Nice. And the staffing industry, wow, that industry seems to be really, really growing. And very rarely does someone apply to a job directly to a company. Why do you think this has changed so much that companies so much rely on organizations like yours to find the proper people, and then also people applying for jobs rarely ever apply directly to a company? They all seem to go through, or so many of them go through, staffing firms, recruiting firms like yours. Do you have any stats or ideas about the industry? Why is it growing so much, and why is it so popular for employers to use a staffing company like yours?
I get asked that question all the time. Our industry has really grown since the inception of our industry, which was back in the late 40s. It started out as a very casual way to bring in extra help when some companies hit seasonal or certain peaks that they had to deal with extra manpower. And over the decades, it grew into an industry on its own, whereby we are experts in not only locating talent, But being able to really differentiate a good person from a great employee, and I think that that's what is the main driving force as to the growth of our industry. A lot of companies that at least we deal with and our industry deals with are experts in their field of business, whether that's manufacturing, distribution, food, whatever their industry is, but they're the resident experts within their category. Where they are not experts are in recruitment and selection. And our industry as a whole has really taken the ball and grown that and leveraged our expertise and really are offering services to companies where it's stress-free, hands-off, let the experts select the best candidates for your position. And, of course, hand-in-hand with our clients, we don't make the selection on our own, but we provide them with a list of their top candidates that they should really take a look at. And they value that type of service. So that's one of the reasons why our industry has seen such growth over the years. But there's a number of other reasons, but that's probably one of the main ones.
And I totally understand that. I was a business development manager at a management consultant that had to hire inside salespeople. And, man, I would hire some. I think they're amazing. I'd give them 3 days of training, their first day on the phone, and then lunchtime would come, and like in two or three cases, like they never came back. They went for lunch and never came back. And, you know, it leaves me scratching my head, like, what did I miss in hiring this person? Like, how come they just wasted all this time and my money? And so, yeah, I was not by any means an expert at determining a good employee. I could often tell if someone's a good person, but a good person doesn't always make a great employee, and that's where you can kind of find both a great person and a great employee, right?
Yeah, correct.
And that's the big difference. Now, one thing I've wondered about, Jack Welch, former CEO of GE, he would talk about hiring the right people and then training them to do the job or letting them learn the job. But doesn't your industry kind of not allow that so much that you could say that, wow, this person really has a talent with people, he really has a talent with sales or whatever the case may be, doesn't have direct experience, but I think because he's such a good person with people that might be a good fit. How does your business find that kind of a paradigm where finding amazing people but putting them in a job maybe that they don't have the most experience at, but because of who they are, they'll be able to get it done?
Well, you know, I think that Jack Welch was really onto something, and he found one of the keys to developing a great team, and that's looking for talented people in any way, shape, or form they come to you. Our industry, for the most part, does produce some really talented graduates out of our schooling system that graduate, with a human resource degree or diploma. But oftentimes, the best candidates and the best employees that I've seen come through are the people that don't necessarily come from an accredited HR course, but rather people that have a passion for people, a passion for success, passion for sales and results. And some of our most tenured employees, some of them that have been here for 8, 9, 10, 11 years, are the people that came with zero industry experience, but had a willingness to learn, absorb, grow. Those are some of our most talented people.
Yes, exactly. You can teach them a lot about the industry, but if they have those right mental attitudes about teachable, wanting to grow, someone who wants to succeed, that's someone you really want on your team and probably other employees want on their team as well.
Absolutely.
Now, John, this I want to ask you about, like many industries, is your industry very price sensitive. For instance, I remember I think it was Apple One that I approached when I was with Carpedia to hire people. I was having a hard time doing it myself with all the people leaving. And so I would have had to pay them, I think, $3,500 if I hired someone that they had sent me in. Man, they sent me some great people, but I often had to, like, scratch my head and ponder and think, is this person worth that money? Is that the main objection to working with a staffing company? And do you end up in pricing wars, or is price the main objection for an employer when they are approaching someone like yourself?
Well, we live in a very competitive industry, and of course, cost containment is always on the radar of any organization that we approach or want to work with. The fact that we live in a very competitive world compresses the rates quite a bit. We always try to look for partnership opportunities with our clients rather than organizations that just want to squeeze us for the best bottom dollar. We truly feel that there's value in the services we offer. And not that we want to gouge our customers, but we want to provide a fair service for a fair rate.
Right.
But there, you know, the reality is we live in a very competitive world. So we'll work with our customers to make the scenario right for both parties. We don't want to shortchange them in any way. We don't want to, you know, reduce the service offerings to fit their budget. We want to make sure that it's a win-win for both parties.
Nice. Talk about this partnership a little bit more, how you develop those. It seems like, and from what I've seen, you know, the best companies, some of the most successful companies, are way more about relationships and partnerships than sales. And so talk about what you can do, what you do when you develop a partnership with a company, because I imagine one instance you gave with those seasonal people that, you know, there are some times when a company probably needs to hire a bunch of people, and so it's nice to have someone they already work with, who they already trust, that will send them the right people. What does it involve to be in a partnership with a company as their staffing company, where you don't have to compete or bid for every project they have?
Mm-hmm. Well, like anything in life, Tom, these relationships are nurtured and grown over time. It's built on a foundation of trust and understanding. Our customers are no different than, you know, you and I. We tend to want to work with customers that value what we do.
Right.
And one of the biggest ways that we've been able to form long-lasting partnerships with, you know, some real interesting and global organizations is by spending time diagnosing and understanding what their staffing challenges or nuances are, and then producing or coming up with a strong action plan on deliverables that meets their needs. And it's not just a one-shot deal. Along the way, we're constantly analyzing or analyzing and doing a check and balance of what we're actually producing for that customer, whether it be through quarterly reviews, you know, monthly face-to-face meetings, just to see kind of where we're at and check the pulse of our relationship. If there's things that we need to tweak along the way, then we will. We tend not to rest on our laurels. So just because we've done a great job for a customer, you know, this year, doesn't necessarily mean that we are a secured vendor next year. We have to continually improve upon what our deliverables have been and ask them for constant feedback and again, present to them additional service offerings or perhaps a higher level of customer service or additional screening. So we're always looking to further those relationships to secure them.
Nice. So it's they sound like they're evolving relationships every year. You're trying to improve your relationship with them, and they're trying to have you know more about their business. And it sounds like it ends up making a great partnership And something, as you say, you analyze and ask them every year how you can improve on it, and that's a sign of a good company, never just resting on your laurels. So I really appreciate that. Another thing, John, I'm a big fan of personality assessments. I like the StrengthFinders personality assessment. There's DISC profiles. Is that something that you guys use when you're interviewing employees and finding good employees? Because a lot of people that sit across a desk from someone, they look like great people and they sound like great people, but in an hour, how do you know how they're going to act under stress, or how do you know how they are as a team player? Is that kind of assessment in part of your business, an important part of your business?
They're a part of the business. They're not certainly the be-all and end-all.
No.
The ones that you've just mentioned are some of the ones that we use in our toolbox. Part of our screening process is to bring the things out of our toolbox that brings the best out of people. And things like the DISC evaluation certainly are part and parcel of it. But reference checking, a candidate's past work history, is a big part of it. Our internal recruiters are all behavioral recruiters, so they will be able to assess a candidate pretty quickly, face-to-face, ask them a series of questions a few different ways in order to ascertain the true essence of who that person is, or at least the basics of who that person is.
Right.
Do they have a good sense about them? Are they legitimate? Are their answers consistent with what they're looking for? So, I think they use all of the items within that box to ascertain the overall fit of this candidate as compared to our clients' needs. So, yeah, assessment tools are great. They're certainly an asset to what we do, but they don't run the gamut in terms of how we select a candidate.
No. Now, as a staffing company, you have to, because this is the business that you're in, and other people would say, well, what kind of a staffing company is that if they don't have attract and retain great staff? And you are very proud of your staff, and you have amazing people. How are you able to attract and retain those amazing people, because that's what your clients are looking for as well, attracting and retaining great staff.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of you're going to get a long answer out of this.
Good.
One of the ways, or some of the ways that we are able to attract and retain people are, I'll list a couple of things and then perhaps I can elaborate on some of them. But like every other company, we are a market wage payer, so we don't certainly underpay our people. We don't go 30% or 40% over market. We're about average, and what we found is that our people, in addition just to a fair pay wage, they're looking for other things. One of the things they're looking for is health benefits. So what our company does is we take care of health benefits, whether it's single or family coverage. We 100% pay for all of our employees' health benefits. We actually subsidize gym memberships for all of our employees. We believe that a healthy employee is a good employee, and a lot of our people really gravitate towards that. They understand that being healthy is part and parcel of just being a good person, whether it's at home or at work. Some of the other things that we do is we reward based on monthly achievements. We're a sales organization, we're a recruitment organization, and we want to recognize achievement, whether it's something small or something rather large, but we recognize that on a monthly basis. And for a job well done, we'll hand out either $50 or $100 or $200 gift cards that people can use, as they see fit. We have a pretty cool rewards and recognition system whereby each quarter the company shuts down for a day. We head off to a local hotel, and we showcase the quarterly results. And the winners of the various categories receive not only certificates of achievement, but in some cases small trophies, and another set of gift cards ranging from $100 to $250 per category. So there's some really cool opportunities, not only to earn some extra money, but also gain some recognition by way of trophies and certificates. We don't stop there, of course. Recognition is a long-term process. It's not just a one-time event. So what we've decided to do in order to continue to encourage people to stay longer is we bribe them. I use that as a funny term, but I'll give you a couple examples. For the ladies in our organization, when they achieve their three-year mark, they receive a Tiffany's bracelet.
Wow.
When they achieve their five-year mark, they receive a Tiffany necklace. And upon completion of their 10-year anniversary, they receive two tickets to Hawaii. In fact,
wow!
Just this last quarter, we had an employee earn her 10-year mark, and her and her partner are heading off to Hawaii. So we're quite excited about that.
Wow!
We're not forgetting about the men in our organization either. We do recognize the same category for the three-year. We provide to them Burke's cufflinks. At their five-year anniversary, we provide to them a nice Burke's watch. And again, we follow suit with the 10 years to a trip for two to Hawaii. So that's kind of what we do to recognize anniversaries, to encourage retention. But along the way, in addition to all the monthly and quarterly achievements and rewards that we allocate to our people, we also offer them all an opportunity to join with myself once a year, and we head off to what we call President's Club. And we typically take the top performers in each of the departments, and we head off for a week somewhere in the sunny south. We try to pick a different country each year, and it's a way to relax and kind of get away from it all. We do have a provision for spouses or partners to join along. That's also a really good opportunity for the spouses or partners to celebrate in their success as well. So we kind of get it all, and we package it real nice, and we like to think that what we do is not normal out there. We like to think that companies have forgotten about taking care of their people, but I really wanted to make sure that with our company, we always remember about, remember the people that are actually working hard for the success of the company.
Wow, and that's so much about engagement and recognition, and that's a lot of what people look for now. The younger generation are not always after, as you say, 30-40% above the pay scale. They want to be paid well, but they do want to be recognized and have these other little rewards as well, or even some of those are big rewards. But when a company or when a person has that, the employee engagement, I'm sure, goes through the roof because they know that they're appreciated. So that's those are some great plans you have there. Do you have any room for salespeople?
Always hiring.
great company. Now, once you're on the Canada's fastest growing list, now it's like, okay, we got. What do we do from here now? So, what new and exciting projects do you have coming up to help People Store grow and be innovative in an industry that's very competitive?
Well, we're always looking at growth opportunities, whether that's through acquisition or organic growth. But, just to think of some of the new things coming up in 2015 as an example, we are we've been chosen as the exclusive staffing supplier through one of our client partners for the Pan Am and Parapan.
Oh, wow.
In Toronto, yes. So that that in itself is a tremendous feather in our cap. An organization our size, we're a mid-sized company. We're not the biggest out there. We're certainly not the smallest. But you know, taking an opportunity on like the Pan Am Parapan Games is quite the project. I'm sure you're familiar with what the games are, but. There's over 40 venues across Ontario, so it's going to be quite a large project for us geographically, and we're well situated because we do have a number of offices throughout southwestern Ontario, which fits the Pan Am Games quite well, and the number of requisitions or people that they're looking for to assist them are in the hundreds.
Wow.
So it's going to certainly be a very exciting time for our company next year, but that's just one of the many projects that we have on the horizon. But that's certainly one that that we're talking about quite a bit.
That's very cool. Hundreds of people, over 40 locations. That's logistically a challenge, and also just. Pretty exciting to have something to do with that, with those Pan Am Games.
Absolutely.
Neat. Now, what would you say, like, well, you must have to get asked this a lot, but what are a couple of the main differences between you and other companies in your industry that sets you apart and that's helped you grow to be one of Canada's fastest growing businesses?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the main reasons why we are able to lead our industry in terms of sheer growth and acceleration is our flexibility with our customer base, and our internal employees have a very very flexible way that they provide staffing. We of course have very specific SOPs in terms of how we deliver results. But we have a very unorthodox way of gathering talent and delivering upon our client requests. We find that the organizations that we compete against are rather rigid. They have a certain way that they augment or provide staffing, where it may be a little bit lengthy for clients. Sometimes our clients need staff immediately. And they just want results, and we're able to cater to that speed of delivery, I think, better than some of the people that we compete against. And the quality of what we're actually producing through our system provides our clients with a better caliber of candidate. We look at each candidate as, you know, would we hire that person internally? And if so, we want to fast track that person as quickly as possible and get them marketed to our client base as quickly as we can. We tend not to sit on good candidates, whereas our competitors we feel do sit on good candidates quite a bit, and we're just eager to support our customers and grow our business overall. So we tend to work real hard, and I think the harder we work against our competitors, the luckier we get, I guess.
That's how it works. Hard work makes you very lucky. The harder you work, the more lucky you are. And so, fantastic. Now, what kind of companies use your service, John? Is it mostly big companies, or what? Even like a small entrepreneur, even like 5 employees or less, use you? What kind of companies? What sizes are they that usually employ you to look for people for them?
Mm-hmm. You know, Tom, it varies. Anywhere from a small mom-and-pop organization of, 10 employees or under, all the way up to multinational organizations with, thousands and thousands of employees use our services. But our sweet spot is tends to be organizations with anywhere from 50 to about 250 employees, where they tend to have, an HR department, a rather small HR department that tends to be overwhelmed with paperwork and whatnot. So they really leverage organizations like ours to really help them and augment what they're currently doing in-house. So that's
right.
Although we service all ends of the spectrum from very small to very large, our sweet spot is mid-size organizations of 200-250 people or so.
Right, and as you said, those type of companies tend to have maybe one person in HR that does everything, like payroll, benefits, like everything an HR person does. And by using you, they're able to keep it down to one without having to hire an extra person. And so that is a good sweet spot, a medium-sized business where the HR person is the one HR person doing everything. Obviously, you can really help them out a lot in a company like that. So medium-sized companies. What about, like, other services? Do staffing companies do the paperwork, other HR services, or are they generally only the hiring of new people?
Tom, we do everything. There isn't a service that we don't offer or have not offered. We do get pretty intricate with our clients. We provide things like time and attendance systems that really do a good job tracking performance and results. We offer services such as HR consulting or WSIB services and health and safety programs.
Right.
We also test for a variety of computer software skills. So really, depending on what our customers are looking for, we'll cater a plan. And recruiting is just one part of it, but there's a lot of different add-ons.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned a few of them because I was going to name a few, but I couldn't think of any off the top of my head that a staffing firm would do. So way more than just hiring new people. And WSIB for people that are not in Canada, that's workplace safety, health and safety or workplace safety. I hadn't even thought of those services. I'm glad you mentioned them. Any others that you could mention just briefly? Because, again, I knew there were some, but I just couldn't think of any off the top of my head. And I imagine there's other companies that know that you guys hire people but don't always know the other services.
Well, for on the Canada side, we offer an array of other services. We provide them with resume writing tips, interviewing techniques. We walk people through how to dress properly for an interview. A lot of times we just run into candidates that, they're probably about 80% there, but we want to ensure that they are given the tools that they need in order to show a good impression. A lot of times some of our blue-collared category workers are exceptionally skilled individuals but perhaps don't have some of the interpersonal or soft skills that an employer really looks for. So we kind of hone in on that and we help them refine their own skill sets as well. So there's a wide variety of other things we do, for sure.
And that's important. Right? More and more in this day and age, your resume and how it's built. I just had someone who's in your industry help me with mine. They work for Trios College, and they help the graduates find jobs. And so she helped me with mine. And it is critical, and resumes are different than they used to be. So that's a very important skill because of the, is it software that companies use to analyze these hundreds of resumes that they get? And so talk about the importance of having a well-done resume for how people search through resumes now, because I imagine a lot of jobs that are advertised, there's probably 200 or more resumes that they have to go through. And if yours is not up to snuff with 200 others, you're probably not even going to get looked at.
And you're bang on with that. The reality is we sift through for every job opening, sometimes hundreds of resumes. And the resumes that that kind of rise to the top out of the crowd are the ones that pinpoint certain attributes that we're looking for. I'll give you an example. If an organization is looking for a very numbers-oriented accountant that has, proficiency in certain types of software, what we would hone in on is those things in particular within the resume. So we'll do keyword searches, and we'll bring that up. We'll tend to look for the accomplishment sections as a gauging point. Everybody is able to articulate themselves quite well in a resume. You can have 10 resumes with the same software, perhaps. But what we'll look for in the accomplishment section is how they're able to successfully implement that program, or what they were able to do with that software that helped their previous organization or their current organization through a challenging time, or something like that that really draws out that person's true capability, rather than just saying, yes, I have experience doing X, Y, Z. But rather practically how they use that skill in X, Y, Z to produce these results for their current employer or past employer. Those are the things that really stand out in a resume that we look for.
And that's exactly how mine was restructured, to really put some of those keywords, action words of what was done, not just for the job, but the situation of the company and those kind of things. And so that's very, very important, and a great service that you offer people, because you could be a great person, but in this day and age, with great experience, but if your resume is not up to snuff, you're not going to get the jobs that you should be getting based on your how good a person you are and how good your experience is. So fantastic that you offer that to candidates, and it's such a good thing to have, an updated, proper resume. So good. What other growth plans do you have, John? Because you guys are growing, a friend of mine says, faster than... like a rabbit farm on steroids, that's what he says. And you guys are growing so fast, you must always, that must be one of your main jobs, is to think about new and innovative ways to grow the company.
Mm-hmm. I'm constantly looking at ways that our company can continue its accelerated growth, not only locally within Ontario, but one of the things that we're looking at is continuing to expand our brand outside of the province. We've had a number of what's called them field trips to Alberta, where we're scouting out a number of potential territories within the Calgary market in order to expand our brand out west. So there's constant scouting of new territories, not only locally but abroad, in order to capture some new business opportunities in other locales. So that's something that kind of keeps me busy nowadays.
Yeah, I imagine. And Canada is a big country geographically, so there's lots of places where you can go. Now, one final word. What can you say one last thing about your company, your business, maybe one last thing before we end off this interview?
Tom, I really do want to thank you for spending some time with me. My organization, although we've talked about some really some high points and some really cool growth strategies, I really just want to end off with saying that none of what this organization has accomplished wouldn't be possible without the strong team of focused individuals that are part of the organization. They're really the secret sauce to the success, and you know, we can come up with a lot of elaborate things to offer in terms of value-add services and pricing models, and we can be very creative in how we present our company, but at the end of the day, without the team of individuals that are within our branch network, none of our success would remotely be possible. So that's where I think I'd like to end it, is
nice.
Just provide some accolades to the people that are part of this great organization.
And if you're an organization looking to hire people, sounds like you really just need to get to know the people at PeopleSource Staffing Solutions. I think from the way John is and then the way John talks about his people, I think if you just at least get to know them, probably that's the very best first step for engaging a company like yours, is getting to know other people. Where do you have offices, John, just so if a company is listening and they're in a different location than Toronto, they might be like, oh, wow, I didn't know they had an office here.
Mm-hmm. Our physical branches are in cities such as Mississauga, Toronto, Vaughan, Brampton, Guelph, London, and kind of everywhere in between. We tend to service, I would say our region is southwestern Ontario, and although it's not limited to that, we do a tremendous amount of work currently out west, and in fact about 10 or 15% of our business is also in the U.S., so we cross borders as well. So we're able to certainly service not only locally, regionally, but abroad as well.
Wow, fantastic. Well, it's been fun for me, John, because I see so many staffing companies out there. I've learned a few things, and I've admired your company for a number of years, and to make Canada's fastest growing companies list, that's quite an accomplishment, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be the end of the accomplishments. And I'm looking forward to enjoying myself being in the Toronto area, the Pan Am Games next year. And I'll remember that those employees were hired by PeopleSource Staffing Solutions. So congratulations. I'll be keeping an eye on you. You're in an exciting, competitive industry. But it sounds like your people are what really sets you apart. And if any organization is needing or looking to hire people, as I'd mentioned before, I think the best first step is just get to know your people. And from there, you'll be able to tell what kind of a company you have, right?
Great. Thanks, Tom.
Have an amazing day. Thanks so much, John.
Great. Thanks. You too now.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.